Your independence is important to you. As we grow older, we fear losing our independence. So in the next few minutes, you'll hear about an agency that helps make your independent living more possible. This is Face to Face on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean. We live independently all our lives. One of the major fears of growing older is losing that independence. An agency here in the Richmond area offers help. It is Resources for Independent Living, Incorporated. Kelly Hickok is the Community Services Manager for Resources for Independent Living, Incorporated. Kelly, what does your agency do? What is its mission?
Well, Lou, our mission, really quite simply, is just to assist individuals with disabilities who are living in the community to remain independent in their own homes, in the community. We don't like to see anyone having to go to a place where they don't choose or need to be. Institutional setting, for example, a nursing home. Believe it or not, there are a lot of people with disabilities who are currently living in nursing homes and institutional facilities that just have never had someone explain to them or show them how they can be independent. And we know that they can. With the right community supports in place, we know that individuals can achieve whatever level of independence that they choose.
You're saying there are other options.
Absolutely, there are other options.
Give us an example of a few.
Well, one of the things that we do at the agency is we work very closely with individuals who are currently living in nursing homes or in institutional settings and really literally help them with very specific things, finding a place to live when they identify as wanting to come out of that situation and have their own place in the community. We help them, you know, we can assist them with finding a place to live and oftentimes, people don't realize if you're coming from a nursing home or another institution, you're not set up in the community, you don't have your own place, you have to find a bed to sleep in, you don't have a knife, fork, and spoon to eat with. So you literally are starting from scratch. And that can be quite overwhelming. So we, our peer mentors, when someone's comes to us for service, our peer mentors really literally go to work with that individual and help them, whether they're coming from an institutional setting or whether, you know, oftentimes people are living independently in the community, but because of changing abilities, you know, that becomes threatened. So when you can bring in supports and services to that support that independence, then the person is not as much at risk of institutional placement.
You're telling us something that I had not considered before. When you talk of independent living, I thought of maintaining our independence.
Right.
And yet you're also saying that once somebody goes into a nursing home, there's a possibility of coming out and going back to independent living with the proper help.
Exactly.
That they don't need to be in the nursing home.
Well, that's individualized kind of thing, and it certainly you need to look at it and evaluate it. But we certainly believe that with the community supports in place, the person can be independent in the community. And, you know, unfortunately, quite honestly, if a person's been told their entire life, you can't, you won't, you shouldn't, they tend to believe that, you know. And so sometimes we have to really work with the individual and reverse all of that and say, you can, you will, and this is how we can help you do it. And, you know, with your help and with your participation in this, we can make this happen. And it's quite rewarding to see people coming out of institutions and being able to, you know, simple things that we all take for granted, being able to decide when you're going to eat your meals, when you're going to get in and out of the bed, when you're going to go to the movies, where you're going to go in the community. Those simple things that we don't even think about day to day, that people, those rights and opportunities that people don't have when they're in a restricted setting that they don't need to be in.
Absent an overriding medical condition, if one can come out of a nursing home, you first of all regain your independence, and second of all, you don't have to spend that tremendous amount of money that it costs to be in a nursing home.
Absolutely.
How do you do this? Let's start with somebody who, let's say, it seems to be losing their independence. Mm-hmm. How can you help them maintain their independence?
Well, Lou, it can be a very complex issue, but it could also be something very simple. Someone is no longer able to prepare their meals at home. there are a number of ways that that can be remedied. Maybe they need to be connected with a program like Meals on Wheels. Maybe they need a personal care attendant, someone to come into their home for a few hours out of the day and prepare meals or help them with assistance with bathing or dressing. You know, they're active. We call them activities of daily living, but basically that's the things we all do in our independence. So, you know, something like that, that's two quick ways that, you know, if a person thinks, oh, I've got to go to a nursing home because I can't cook anymore. No, there's all kinds of ways we can work around that.
One of the threats to independence is losing your right or ability to drive.
Yes.
What can your agency do to help people get around?
Well, it depends on a number of things. One of the things that we continue to struggle with is affordable, accessible, and adequate transportation for those who are transportation dependent. For all of us, you know, I currently drive. I'm a wheelchair user, but I have a vehicle that is adapted for me so that I could drive. But I think about it every day. What if, and we all need to come from that perspective, what if we had to give up our keys today? How would we maintain our life, maintain the things that are important to us, continue to do what we love to do? How would we make that happen? And unfortunately, for some people, the answer is there aren't any options in their locality because transportation planning is a very regional issue. There are communities where if you are transportation dependent, there are no options. There is no public transit. There is no what we call paratransit service. So there aren't any options other than depend on friends and family, which is important, but that doesn't always work out and give you the flexibility that you need or want. My own grandparents basically were living independently in a community and chose to go into an independent living situation because they couldn't drive anymore, you know. And we were certainly, as a family, willing to support them and take them where they needed to go, but for them, they didn't want that. They didn't want that dependence. And so the answer to your question is that for someone who can no longer drive, we can assist them with getting connected with paratransit service. We can help them with the application process and getting connected with the care. We call it CARE here in our area, the CARE paratransit service. If they're close to the bus, we can assist them, and we do assist a lot of our clients with learning how to ride the bus. That sounds like a simple thing, but it can be very intimidating if you've never done it before, if you've never looked at a bus schedule, you know, if you've never had to ride public transit. It can be very scary and very intimidating, but, you know, we can also assist with those issues as well.
Kelly Hickok is the Community Services Manager for Resources for Independent Living Incorporated. Kelly, I detect from what you're saying that your agency doesn't provide these services necessarily, but you offer the options of hooking them up with these services.
Right.
Tell us more about your agency.
Well, we have been in existence since 1983. We're a private, nonprofit, non-residential, community-based organization. You know, a lot of times it amazes me that sometimes we still get calls from people saying, do you have any beds available? And, of course, that's totally opposite of what we do. We are not a residential facility. We support people with resources and assistance, like I said, to help them live in the community. We have a variety of services that we offer. If an individual feels like they might be able to benefit from our services, they can call. We have an orientation every month. They can call and they can set up an appointment to come to that orientation. And they can just sit there and listen to the things that we offer. And if they feel at the end of that orientation that we can be of assistance to them, they can open up a case with us. And when they do, we take some initial information on that orientation day. And then within a few weeks, a couple of weeks, we will assign them to a peer mentor. And the model of independent living, there are 16 centers for independent living across the Commonwealth. And the model of independent living is that with independent living centers, the individuals who work at independent living centers, the majority of those individuals are people who are living with disabilities themselves. So that's why we call it a peer model. The individual may not have the same disability, but they're matched with a peer mentor who can assist them with some of the things and have a level of understanding and awareness of some of the things that they may, challenges and difficulties that they may be going through.
You mentioned there are 16 across the state. Is your agency unique among these?
Well, all of the Centers for Independent Living are unique in the way that they deliver services to a certain point. All Centers for Independent Living provide what we call four core services. Those core services are advocacy. We spend a lot of time in the community educating and advocating funding providers about the needs of individuals with disabilities, supports and services that need to be in place, funding that needs to be allocated to provide supports and services. Individualized advocacy, if someone is struggling with maybe a housing issue or some sort of issue in their personal life that's just unique to them, we will work one-on-one to advocate with them. We want to teach individuals how to advocate for themselves, but and then walk along beside them and support them in their advocacy efforts as they do that. So not only do we teach people to advocate for themselves and teach people what their rights are as an individual with a disability living in the community, but then we're there to sort of go hand in hand with them if things are not, if they're advocating and things are not moving along, then we can jump in there and help them with advocacy. Independent living skills training, that can mean very different things for different people, but basically sometimes people need to learn to cook. You know, maybe they are now in a mobility aid, a wheelchair, walker, crutches, and their kitchen is not so accessible and they haven't learned to cook. I was in that situation. I grew up with a stay-at-home mom, and nobody got in her kitchen. She did the cooking for the family, so combination of that and the fact that our kitchen was not accessible, I didn't learn to cook. I was lucky enough to marry a man who's an excellent cook, so he did most of the cooking and has over the years taught me how to cook because we do have an accessible kitchen now. But independent living skills training can be money management. It could be lots of different things based on the needs of the individual. The peer mentoring I talked about, that's just the one-to-one counseling that we do and support that we provide to the individuals we serve on an individualized basis. And then information and referral. What we do with information and referral is we hope that we can provide the service that the individual needs, but sometimes we don't provide those services and we try to make ourselves aware of the services that are out there so that we can get them to the right place for the appropriate service.
Kelly Hickok is the Community Services Manager for Resources for Independent Living Incorporated. Part of your job is to let people know that you exist. And you're doing that right now on this program. You're letting people know about the services you have. But it seems from what you're saying that part of the program you have is to let the community be aware of what you're doing. Do you also lobby legislators?
Well, we don't call it lobbying because of regulations, we're not allowed to lobby. We educate and advocate. So we do spend a great deal of time down at the General Assembly. Sometimes we're providing testimony about a specific issue that's relevant to individuals with disabilities. Sometimes we're meeting with legislators. We have a General Assembly Day. The Virginia Association for Centers for Independent Living is our organization that encompasses all of the Centers for Independent Living. So VASIL has an IL Day, Independent Living Day, down at the General Assembly. And that's very empowering. We go down to the General Assembly with our consumers who want to go, and we make appointments with our legislators, and we go in and talk to them. And talk to them about issues that we're concerned about that can impact independence, funding issues. And sometimes individuals just talk about their personal stories, what's real in their world, what are the things that they're struggling with. And there's so much to learn when a person's willing to share their personal stories of their struggles. There's so much to learn because it's what's real in their world. It's not a statistic or a fact or figure that can be argued. It's just what this individual is dealing with.
You also have a summer youth program.
We do.
Tell us about that.
That is very, very popular. We have a summer youth program. We have two offices. We have an office in Richmond, and we have an office in Petersburg. And we have summer youth program for the youth in our Richmond office. It's not actually in our Richmond office. It's at another location in the community is where we go to have the program. And then one in Petersburg. And it's just a really fun time for youth with disabilities. We try not to make it like an extension of school. But at the same time, we are taking that opportunity to help our youth with disabilities start to think about independence. Start to think about, I'm not going to be able to live with mom and dad forever. And I don't need to, and I don't want to, and I don't have to. But I do need to learn some of the things that will allow me to be successful with my independence, like money management, like household management, budgeting. One of our huge programs is actually driver's education. Now, we don't do behind the wheel, but for those who have difficulty with the written part of the test, we will do tutoring on a one-to-one basis with the individual. But we also have classes where we, for a period of time, will address the what they need to know to pass that written part of the test at DMV. And it's just so exciting and so rewarding when we see someone, a young person with a disability, you know, prepare and work hard and come to class and get ready to take that written test, and then they pass it and they get their learner's permit. You know, it's such a ordinary thing that kids of that age look forward to, young people of that age look forward to, getting that learner's, getting that license. So, you know, and it's exciting for individuals with youth with disabilities as well. So that's a very popular program. It usually fills up every time we offer it. We also offer it for adults as well.
People take independence for granted most of their lives and don't even consider looking forward to a time when perhaps they might not be as independent as they are today through no fault of their own necessarily. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yes, it's advancing age, but sometimes it could be an accident. Sometimes there could be a medical condition, even a temporary one, mm-hmm. that causes independence to be lost, mm-hmm. especially on an independent one. It's not going to be permanent, but it may be as much as 6 months. Can you help?
Well, we can in the way of providing information. A lot of times people, if it's a temporary disability, their home can become their institution because they can't, you know, maneuver in their home. They don't have a ramp. They don't have a bathroom that they can use. Their kitchen's no longer accessible. I remember a few years ago, I got a call from a lady who was living in a tri-level, and she had broken her leg way up high, and her leg was in a cast. And, you know, she said, I think I'm just going to have to go to a hotel till this is over because I can't do anything in my home. And I never thought about it. I never considered it, you know. And I think that's the biggest problem. You know, we're trying to promote universal design, easy living design. We're trying to get people to think about things that they can do in their home right now. If they're building their last home that they hope to retire in, what are the things you can put into place right now that will make it easier for you to stay at home for a longer period of time? You know, having a zero-step entrance to your home. That's great if you have a temporary disability or a permanent disability where you need to use a mobility aid, but it's a wonderful thing if you're bringing furniture through the door and not having to drag it up a bunch of steps, you know. So it's just, I have a degree in architecture and I have a 20-year history of working in architectural accessibility in different forms, commercial and residential. And to me, it's just thinking about good design. It's good design that adapts to the changing needs of people instead of, you know, requiring people to adapt to environments that don't work for their changing needs. No one wants to think about a point in time where they may have to have this thing because they can't do something they used to be able to do. But we have to try to reverse that thinking and help people realize that it's a part of good sense. You know, if you have everybody has towel bars in the bathroom, right? Well, you get ready to slip, you grab that towel bar, it's coming down out of the wall and falling with you. If you put grab bars up, And they don't have to be institutional, stainless steel, and ugly. If you put grab bars on the wall, then you've prepared. Even if you don't want the grab bar right now, if it's in the middle, the home is in the middle of construction, you put some blocking behind the wall. You prepare the wall ahead of time so that when you're ready for the grab bar, the wall's ready to receive it, and it's not a major construction issue to go in there and put the grab bar in.
Even such things as door handles, instead of a knob, a lever.
Yes, yes. So many of the things that we have put into place because of the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and the legal requirement to provide architectural access in our built environment, so many of those things that we put into place make sense for everybody. A lever handle on a door is great if you have arthritis or limited dexterity in your hand, but it's also wonderful if you're coming through the door carrying a baby or an armful of packages. You can activate that lever with your elbow or, you know, whatever you need to do. So it's about, to me, it's about comfort, safety, and convenience, no matter what level of ability, and incorporating that into your living space.
Kelly, you've whet our appetite and piqued our interest. How do people get a hold of you?
Well, there's a number of ways they can get a hold of us. They can call us at 804-353-6503. My extension is 135, but they can tell the receptionist. If they want to come to an orientation, they can just simply tell the receptionist that, and she will connect them with their intake coordinator. They can go on our website at www.ril-va.org. They can email me at HickockK. It's an unusual spelling. It's HickockK. So it's last name, first initial, at RIL for Resources for Independent Living, -va.org.
Those are the best ways to contact you, of course. Where is the place?
We are physically located in the Richmond area at 4009 Fitzhugh Avenue, and we're in Suite 100. And then our Petersburg office is on Fort Mahone Road in Petersburg, and that is 1845A Fort Mahone Street in Petersburg.
You've given us a great overview of what your agency does. Have we left anything out?
Well, we have a variety of programs. We work with a lot of grant opportunities to provide information to individuals in outreach. One of the things that we're working on right now is a grant that was awarded to the Virginia Association for Centers for Independent Living, and it was awarded through the Virginia Board for People with Disabilities, which is the Commonwealth's Developmental Disabilities Council. And we were awarded that grant to do some outreach to, we call it the Empowerment to Prevent Institutionalization Grant. And what we're doing with that grant is just so exciting because we have the opportunity to provide outreach to medical and human service professionals to help them learn about some of the ways that people can be supported in the community. Because it's a very slippery slope, Lou, to be honest with you, because a person can be living independently in the community with or without a disability. They have something, a medical event happened to them. They end up in a hospital. We all know you don't get to stay in the hospital, but so long. And then if you're fortunate, you might get to go to rehab. But then if you don't progress far enough or fast enough in rehab, it can be a very slippery slope to the nursing home. So this program is really geared towards those professionals who have the opportunity to see someone struggling with their independence and to provide them with some good information about how they can assist that individual with some necessary support so that independence is a continued option for the individual. And I would say just, you know, if there are other things that the listeners have concerns about or think that we might be able to assist them, just give us a call.
Kelly Hickock, give us your telephone number one more time.
Sure. It's 804-353-6503, and I'm at extension 135.
Kelly Hickock is the Community Services Manager for Resources for Independent Living Incorporated. You're listening to Face to Face on the Virginia Voice, and for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean.